Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome in to episode 178 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. It's your boys, your favorite Saturday brunch bunch, back at it again. Your humbled and highly favored host back in the top left square, in my rightful place, the man, the myth, the legend himself, back at it on top. Put your ones up, whatever you want to do. Acknowledge me. Okay, acknowledge me, not us. This isn't a Schwarzenegger, predator handshake moment that we got again last night on SmackDown.
Jason, he muted you last week. Go ahead and just get
this shit over with. Humble and highly favored. He just came out of church, man. What are you talking about?
That's right. Nah, how we living? How we feeling? We good? Everybody good? On the road still? Donald, you still on that road?
Yes, on the road. Yep, fully focused. But I do have to apologize to you. I did watch The Rock's 21-minute director's cut video on Instagram. That is canon. That has to be canon.
It has to be canon, right?
That was some stuff. Yes.
Told you, canon, right?
Was it on TV, man?
Now, listen, before we jump into this, because he dropped another 11-minute one yesterday.
Okay, I didn't see that.
In a cowboy hat, in a PBR bull riding arena in Texas with a big ass belt buckle. It's tremendous. But since you brought up canon and that, I know this week was a sad week for all anime lovers out there with the passing of the creator of Dragon Ball Z. I can't find the thing that I had saved on my phone. I don't know why. I don't know if anybody else is experiencing that. You bookmark certain stuff on Twitter and it just goes away. Anybody else
care about anything?
I don't have Twitter. So.
I guess I need Elon's Neuralink to be able to sync up with my bookmarks nowadays, because I bookmark shit throughout the week and then I go on Saturday to pull stuff up and it's not there no more.
I'm not that prepared for this show.
Well, we know that.
Elon's like, gotcha.
Yeah, with the passing of the creator, Dragon Ball Z, and I saved it just for his name because I didn't watch Dragon Ball Z, even though it's been around for however long. I never got into Dragon Ball Z. My son was, however, a huge Dragon Ball Z guy. All the games, every single iteration of the show. And that, but I believe he was 68 years old.
68, yeah. 68. Akira Toriyama.
There you go. I saved it. That was the sole purpose for me saving it. And it wasn't there. So shout out to him for bringing so much joy to so many people. The timeline was blown up with stuff, tributes, everything else. People saying they need to go find all 7 Dragon Balls to bring them back to life. It's a huge passing in the anime community. So I know how that can tie into the world of pro wrestling as far as fandom goes, because heaven forbid you get into an argument and call something the wrong thing with one of them. It's much like getting into an argument with a wrestling fan. So,
I wonder what the battles are going to be like with Superman and Goku now that they do online.
Yeah, so I'm going to jump in, give a shout out, little rest in power, for somebody that, like I said, has tapped in and connected to so many people and generations just because of how long the show's been on. I think the original debuted in what, 90?
80. Dragon Ball itself was 86.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Didn't know that.
It's like a Simpsons run.
Yeah.
That was back in black and white cartoon days.
Huh? Yeah, Dragon Ball was 86. Dragon Ball Z was 89.
Jeez.
That's insane.
Is it still running?
Super is on hold right now because they're doing the mangas, and the new show Dynam is supposed to come out later this fall. Yeah. So they're doing some like off project before they get back on the main storyline.
Was he still in charge of everything? Or
yes, he was. Oh, yes, he was. Yes, he was fully in charge of everything. Yeah, him and the one guy from Toei Animation, but he was the main person that everything had to run through. So, who knows now? Yeah,
right. We'll see. So rest in peace. Sad, but hey, he left a legacy, right? That's all. Mm-hmm. made the world a better place when he came in, as far as, you know, allowing people to enjoy something and escape whatever they may be going through, as is the case whenever we watch pro wrestling. So shout out to him. Didn't want to get off on a somber note, but I got to give the man his flowers because of how impactful he was across the spectrum when it comes to that. You know, he's not Rushmore wise. Is that
Taekwon? I need a Dragon Radar first, Taekwon. I'm not smart like Bowman to create one. So
yeah. And speaking of Taekwon, so listen, I got a bone to pick with this dude right now off the top of the show.
Same.
Last week he was in the comments. Send me my shirt. And I felt bad because it was my bad, and I accepted it and took responsibility and apologized. So I go in this week, check the DMs. This dude don't leave his city and zip code. I'm like, how you want me to mail just to a random street address? Like, you want me to pick anywhere out of the United States to just mail this shirt to? Like, what do you want me to do? So this dumb Mark didn't even put his full address in the DMs to get his shirt. So luckily, I was off the hook. It's not my fault. It's Taekwon's fault. So I sent a message back. Hey, give me your full address so I can get this shirt out. And I still haven't seen nothing in the DM.
Hilarious.
What are we doing here? That's the fresh fade, Taekwon. Speaking of fresh fade, so Donald and Jason pulled up to my house yesterday. I'm working from home. They came over to get the beer for the drink of the week, right? Head on over to YouTube, check out our drink of the week segments. We drop those every single week. Great sponsorship, great people that we're working with. And he called, I texted him. I said, call me when you get in the driveway. He said, okay. So he calls me and I answer the phone. I'm like, hello. He's like, black people in the driveway. Right off the bat, I know we're on some shit. Right off the bat. So I come out in the driveway and I walk up to the car and he rolls down the window and I'm like, normally it's the black guy handing the white guy the brown bag, right? Not the other way around. So, you know, we did the little deal in the driveway and then proceeded to have a 25-minute podcast.
Yes, right there.
Just making fun of ourselves, which is what we need to do more of on this show. And Jason's sitting there with his phone on his lap and doesn't pick up and record once.
I'm like, hey. In my lap.
You cannot. Like, if we're going to do content, we got to do content right. So when you see an opening for a clip or a podcast or something, you got to be quick to hit the record. This dude will screenshot and record anything else that he finds on the internet. Right? Anything else that he finds on the internet. He's quick to screenshot and record that and drop it in the group text. You know, maybe I should have came out with like an Instagram shirt on and he would have hit play. You know, like, unbelievable. So, yeah.
You need to get you one of them Ring doorbells so you can have it out front. That records everything. So, it's good to go. Or don't need to get a dashboard cam.
Yeah, something, man. So, yeah, but, dog, we're the worst podcast ever. We're worst podcast. Yes. Me and Donald are like, this is great content right now. Like, and none of it got, it's just out there in space in our memory banks. Awesome. So,
oh boy! No, they know about me and recording. We went to a brewery the other day, and they're like, "Here, record this." And I'm like, "We want some guerrilla warfare? Like, what are we doing?" My phone's recording, like live on the spot. God, what are we doing, man?
Yeah, that's how it is. The opportunity is there. You gotta get there for the content.
And CLE. That's where we learned right there. Got to get some equipment because it didn't turn out.
Yeah, we gotta look in. Chris, you're the tech guy on the show. You sell a bunch of that shit. Let's get a discount on something.
Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/dumbmarkspod. Buy some merch so the boys can actually buy some equipment for the show.
Let it plug. Let it plug. I like it. Good job. We're on our toes today, fellas. Yes, We're out there. All right. But with that being said, how was everybody's week? Everybody good?
Not too bad.
Everybody's good. Yeah.
Wasn't a bad week.
Good. I think we experienced all seven, all four seasons in a span of 6 days here in Pittsburgh.
That's me dead.
It was 75 tomorrow.
Yeah, it hurts snow tomorrow. Like, what the
rainy
hell?
Rainy and shitty. And now it's 48 and rainy, and then tomorrow snow. So, yeah, welcome to the Northeast in March. It's unbelievable.
That's what, whatever, it was 70 last week, someone put on Facebook. Don't be fooled. Second winter is around the corner.
Like, right, right. It was fall spring. Yeah. It was fall spring. Mm-hmm.
Last night was cool. It was like a fall night last night.
Yeah.
And I was out. I was like, man, this is
you were loving here. It.
Yeah, I was loving it. And I woke up this morning and see all this rain. I was like, what the hell's going on?
I
can do everything but the rain. As much as I love it, man. Taking them dogs out. We just stand at the edge of the porch like, you go. No, you go. No, you go. Nobody wants to step out. Yeah.
And listen, mine are the same way, but they got I got the invisible fence, so I stand in the house and I just yell at them through the floor. No party.
Get your ass out here.
Yeah. Hey, they're so bougie. They hate walking on wet grass. Like, what happened to dogs? Like, you talk about society being soft. Dogs not only want to walk on wet grass.
That's true.
Like, tell me, what am I telling lies? And somebody wants
to stop. Great, not to be old man.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So, all right. Big week. A lot of stuff. As the title of the show goes, momentum change. That's what I want to talk about today. We're going to talk about some momentum as we go through and discuss stuff, right? Because there was a lot that happened, and see which way you think the momentum pendulum is shifting. Per company, so to speak, as we go through this and get into it. Did anybody watch Sacrifice last night from TNA?
Some of it, not all of it, but I saw some of it.
No.
Good show, good pay-per-view. They're staying strong. I think they're still in the upward trajectory of their momentum shift. I'll take momentum in my bank account.
Definitely would.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, TNA last night, highlights for me from the show itself. Hammerstone and Alexander 2 was really good. I like the direction. Hammerstone got a win, although a little kick in the nuts will always get it done. But at certain points in time, depending on who you are and when you use it. New title changes. So we got new men's TNA champs, new knockout TNA champs, Moose retained.
They're just going back and forth with those knockout titles right
that's
now.
That's the only thing that I hated about this show. Mm-hmm. The pinball with the knockouts. It was, you know, you've had three pay-per-views so far in 2024, and it's been a knockouts title change on all three shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But hopefully they're going to keep it where it's at now, because you had Slamovich and Killer Kelly kind of go back and forth last night. Some tag team turmoil there, so get a split off between them two. But I think my favorite match of the night might have been the women's knockout title match, the triple threat between Jordan Grace, Zaya Brookside, and Tasha Steelz. Really good match. Some very creative spots that I haven't seen before. They did a spot off the top rope with a giant swing that looks like a pendulum type deal.
Jordan showed off her strength on that.
Very creative. And then the code red spot was also very creative too. Zaya Brookside was on top of Tasha Steele's back, and Jordan hit her with a clothesline, and the momentum caused the code red. So it was a really cool spot. But kudos to TNA doing things right. Some Scott D'Amore signs were there that were taken out of the crowd because it wasn't in his hometown. So, you know, they're still dealing with some of that. But TNA overall, on a high note, I'm glad with what they did last night in the direction where they go. So
I felt like the production was a little elevated last night too. Like, it looked like they changed the lighting around the ring. They threw up some black curtains around some spots around the arena with some different lighting. They even changed up the entrance a little bit. It's a little bit larger of an entrance now. Like, it's like, okay.
Yeah, and they had some streaming issues, which which could here's a novelty act in 2024. Somebody taking accountability. They hopped on Twitter, they hopped on X from the TNA main Twitter account, acknowledged that they had streaming issues, apologized for the issues, and said, we will get the show posted as soon as we can after it goes off the air. So as a consumer, if you're going to give me accountability and acknowledge your wrongs, not like TNA when Bleacher Report was just on the shits last Saturday for Revolution and couldn't run for anything. Come out and say...
So actually, everything you're talking about right now is my jabroni of the week.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. But wait, pause. Yeah. Excuse us. The alleged jabroni of the week is not no longer considered jabroni of the week. When I host the show, it is the Eddie Mush segment of the week. And for those of you that don't know who Eddie Mush is, go watch A Bronx Tale. Great movie. You understand why we call this the Mush of the Week. So go ahead with your Mush of the Week.
You hit it off to start. Last Saturday, you had AEW. And for, in general, I was going to do streaming services. AEW had their terrible service, and they almost have it every time they have a pay-per-view.
They do.
Then you had TNA Plus last night, but like Steve, like the way you were talking about, they had the accountability. I'll give them leniency on that for last night, because this is the first one that I think that they've had issues with, and it's even still a new service right now. So they haven't all done that. But I mean, I can't give a pass to Bleacher Report at all, because this happens every time. How have they not fixed this issue yet? And they need to do something. If this isn't to say that we need to get a new service, or we need to be on Max or something to do different things, or even the Watch Ring of Honor, you know, Honor Club stuff, do something different here. Like,
well, it seemed like after an hour and a half of issues, Tony Khan posted something. Well, it's now being shown on Fight TV. Well, it's an hour and a half of the pay-per-view, dude.
Yeah. Like, we're going to have it over here, so go pay for this one instead.
That should be refund.
So now I got to pay twice on two different services. Like, people bought it when they went in to click on it. They got the purchase pay-per-view again. Like, some people got it. It started and immediately went black. No feed at all. Like, hot garbage with what they're doing with their streaming right now. And you listen, when WWE is going on Netflix, and Netflix is doing a test run come July.
Yes, they are.
Doing a test run come July. The announcement was made. Say what you will about it. Mike Tyson's fighting Jake Paul in July on Netflix, and it's free. You don't have to pay for it. If you're a Netflix subscriber, you're getting the fight for free. Test run for WWE to see how it works with premium live events. So you got to get this shit figured out, because
you do. You're going to get the age of streaming.
Mm-hmm. And people ain't going to buy your pay-per-views.
What you eating today, Jason?
A little bit of everything.
I let it go. He was always good. He was just like,
you know, if I'm not talking to me, you already know this.
Just own it. Take accountability. We're talking about accountability right now. Just sit here, open it up, put the Debbie.
Come on, we're not playing the crinkle game.
Put the little Debbie cake in your mouth. Pause.
He was talking. All I heard was.
You did not hear. There was no. Something marshmallow in it. You did not hear a damn thing. If you can hear the marshmallow, Chris.
Is extra quiet. Is that what we're doing now?
I didn't hear the marshmallow. I heard the person eating the marshmallow.
And Taquan, the reason why we can't continue to call it the Roni segment of the week, because I'm not trying to be special, Jagoff. He owns the term. We can't keep saying it. Not that we're that big of a podcast where we'll get a C&D or taken down, but I don't want to get a strike and have it pulled. So we gotta switch it up and call it something.
I'm one Donald slip up from being Taquan's favorite. that's the mountain right there. I know I made it.
I'll win him back by the end of the show, like I normally do. Just got him to fall in my hand.
Just like Bully Ray always say.
when he gets that shirt, things will even out.
Yeah. But no, go ahead. Get to you, Chris.
That was that.
Yeah.
They just really need to get it done. Yeah. Everybody. We're in the streaming age now. Like, it needs to be better.
It does.
Yeah.
Like, WWE had their growing pains at the beginning too. Mm-hmm. That, like, if you watch the NXT event day one of the network, you know what the growing pains were for that event.
Yeah.
You know, but you know that was their test event for Mania that year.
It's almost like they didn't account for it being Sting's last match and everybody buying the pay per view to watch it because it was Sting's last match. To where it got like overloaded on the server and just stopped working. But you can't even say that because it's literally every single pay-per-view since they hopped on Bleacher Report where people are complaining about Bleacher Report. That's why I refuse to buy anything on Bleacher Report. I'm not doing it.
There's always glitches. Always.
Always. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes the replay, sometimes even the replay is messed up.
Yeah, I remember in the beginning $60 days. For you to tell me I got to repurchase something or me lose an hour and a half of the show.
It reminded me of back in the day, I had watched the In Your House Beware of Dog that the power went out on. And then it was just, you lost the show. And then Monday night, they were like, well, if you want to see the matches you missed, you can buy tomorrow night's event. Like, not giving it to you. You can buy tomorrow night's.
Yeah. Yeah, so AEW streaming momentum way down the list. No momentum at all.
They need a momentum change with that.
No momentum at all with the
there you go.
Streaming service, right? Now, the pay-per-view itself and the matches and everything else, we can get into that as people give their Mount Rushmores or your mush of the week, depending on what you may have seen. So momentum streaming service-wise, not so much. Well, since Chris kicked off with the mush of the week, Donald J, you guys just want to carry it over and give yours, and then we can get into the positivity and some other things.
I'll go with mine. Mush of the week, the whole Logan Paul segment yesterday on SmackDown, it was a waste of time. For me, it was still
Oh, listen, look at this guy. We're talking about a shill. I mean, hey, do you? I mean, listen, let's get it. Money. We got some care packages coming in. We got some care packages coming in from the Drink of the Week segment with different stuff we're reviewing over there. So appreciate you guys. Al Cucino, thank you very much. We'll get that up. But yeah, let's. If you're going to shill, you better show up in a prime bottle.
They want to send me a prime bottle suit that fits me. They can send me a prime bottle suit.
There you go.
I'll be KSI for the week at WrestleMania.
It'd be a big gulp size. It'd be a 48-ounce instead of a 12.
It was just losing me on everything. I mean, it was, to me, it was stale. I mean, come on. Just like, I know what he was doing, and I know what everybody's doing. It's just, it wasn't for me. It wasn't. Like, I'm not expecting, like, you know, The Rock and all that stuff to come out, and you're kicking off with this as an advertisement, basically.
Orton, like, whenever he RKO'd KSI and then drank the thing, and he was just like, oh, this is good. We're really selling the merch here.
Orton is fully in his I don't give a bleep stage, and I'm just here to have fun. Like,
it was like with Logan, what he did after the match, with the bit of tag match, when he just came out and clotheslined him. I mean, that was good enough for me. And Logan, you did your job. You clotheslined him. Okay.
Weak double clothesline.
Get the win. Hey, I'm for it.
Say what you will about the sponsorship announcement itself, but because they're under the TKO brand, Prime and TKO, they already had a sponsorship deal with UFC going back to last year. So if you're going to keep it aligned, great. I'm just trying to see the benefit from both sides, because that's what's not making sense to me. Like, Logan Paul's not paying Yinz to have Prime sponsored on the ring canvas. Like, what's the benefit from WWE doing this?
Maybe Prime's appeal with the kids. I don't know.
I saw kids a thing.
Kids love that shit.
I saw a thing last week. I think it's the number one drink at Walmart now. Like it's overtaken everything.
I mean, if you want to see how much kids love it, go watch the South Park special on Paramount Plus, because the cred is real. Yeah.
And if you don't have Paramount Plus, you can use the dumb marks code. No, I'm just kidding.
I just don't want the mid-ring logo.
It's there. It's there. No. WrestleMania 40 live Philadelphia, big prime bottle right there.
No, I don't.
I mean,
put people in the ring post or something.
Remember, it's like boxing now.
Whenever they had the
TNA does it, AEW does it.
I mean, AEW had the whole Cracker Barrel. They had a damn near Cracker Barrel match.
Yeah.
And we've seen it with other things, right? But
UFC, everything. But
God damn, Taco Bell.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Like, you can bring the kids in, I guess. But I'm just from a. I get from a business standpoint, I just don't get how, besides kids, but if you're WWE, you already got the kids.
Right? Well, they said it was their largest sponsorship deal ever for WWE. So yeah, it's so like Logan Paul's
making bank off of this, but what is, how is WWE?
Just, they don't care. Nick Khan doesn't care about anything but the money. So as long as they're getting money, he's doing it.
Imagine them prices at the stadium for a prime bottle.
Yeah,
$20 out in Dallas for water. I can only imagine what it's gonna be like in Philly this year.
And more than beer.
Speaking of $20 for water, did you see Will Ospreay's little quick video shout out tweet that he put out?
No.
So apparently, you know, America can be a little bit shocking with it with certain things, right? And he's walking through his hotel and he's like, "America, we got to have a chat." And holds up a bottle of Smart Water, $8.75 for this. For water, he's like insane.
Welcome to the land of the free. Yeah, you got it from a hotel.
Yeah, you can't buy that at the hotel. Somebody got to put Osprey up on where to go.
You got
to
walk down to CVS.
You can go nowhere near the hobby. That's hobby shop.
No. He can't be staying at the Holiday Inn Express buying the water. He got to go to the one that actually gives him the bottle of water for checking in.
Yeah, yeah. Or at least put the two mini bottles in the fridge in the room. Like, you know? Yeah, we're crazy. So I hope, look, I guess my big thing with this whole thing is I don't want it to turn into it's NASCAR and we're just selling parts of the ring canvas for ad space.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, the NBA does it with the little patch on the shirt. Okay, cool. You want to put it in the four corners of the ring or on the turnbuckles? Cool.
Turnbuckles.
But you're throwing a big prime bottle in the middle of the ring. Yes, and somebody brought up a good point. It's like, hey, they got to make sure that that's not slick. Like, based on, you know what I mean? Like, we see it with the Super Bowl every year with them painting the field and players complaining about it with different things. Like, you're 1 or 2 inches away from a catastrophic injury every time you step in the ring. And if you're out there on a logo that's slick, that just raises the risk factor up even higher for these guys.
So it may not be
the best model.
Yeah.
So.
I wonder if every event it's going to be a different prime bottle, or if it's just going to be the same one.
You know, new flavors, new announcements. Yeah. It's fine. Logan Paul will come out and his ring music, his entrance music will hit, and we'll get little prime mini bottles dropped from the ceiling.
Instead of the solo comics.
Turn into a whole thing. Now we just need a wrestler with an alcoholic gimmick, and we can drop vodka from the ceiling, and you got a red Solo cup.
Prime. Did we already do that? That was the birth of Austin 316 with that gimmick.
Very true. So we got two mushes, and neither one of them are truly wrestling related as far as in ring product or what was done.
Mine neither. All
right, Jay, what do you got?
Mine is the Bianca hate. Being on that cover, I just don't get it.
Still,
she is technically more qualified than Rhea to be on the cover. She should have been on last year's cover if it wasn't for 20 years of Cena. Other than Roman, she was last year. You're getting this hate out of nowhere. If you're racist, just say it. You hate black people, just say it.
Come on. I was gonna say it ain't out of nowhere, you know that.
It ain't out of nowhere.
I mean, both of them I felt were deserving to be on that cover.
Yeah,
or Andrea, you know, mm-hmm. like probably two stars right now of the women's division.
I mean, you had what I think Cena included her in his top five on ESPN this week. They asked him, "Give me your top five women," and he ran through, and Bianca was on there. Both of them were on there, Bianca and Rhea. Yeah. So like. You got arguably the GOAT.
More accomplished than Cody to be on the cover.
And they put him on the higher priced copy, right? Like not on the basic.
Yeah. No, you're on the deluxe.
Yeah, you're on the deluxe. So you gotta pay extra for this, right? Like
she's one of the most athletic people on the roster right now.
Yeah.
Like, she gets it done in the ring.
Say what you will about her turning into the Cena of the women's division as far as character goes, right? Like it's the same hair twirl, spin, smile, cool. And representation matters and all that. Like they're not going to mess with it. At least I don't think. Although she was a little short and a little toos last night on SmackDown with Naomi. So we'll see if anything develops out of that.
I was thinking like, would you pull the trigger now or do you wait? I was like, you can't do it now.
No, you can't
feed into the angry black woman stereotype after all this. No.
Yeah, no. I am
especially being on the cover too.
Yeah.
If this you turns can into the foundation now, but
I am interested to see if it turns into her and Naomi at Mania. Because Bianca don't got nothing.
Not right now.
So I think she's the one to help Bayley.
Bianca?
I think she might be the one.
Naomi, I could see, but not Bianca. Mm-hmm. And I liked the sit down segment last night with Bayley doing the interview. You know, add a little different. And what she said was right. Like, yeah, you can hate me for what I did, but I cared about them too. I everything I did was for those two. And for them two to turn on me after everything I did for them, I'm coming for your heads. Like, it made sense. So. And Naomi wasn't in the company while Damage Control and Bayley were on their shit. So she wants to come in and help Bayley, then that's fine. She wasn't there for it. Like everybody was justified in what they said last night. Yes. Boiled down to across the board with all three of them in that interaction. So
interested to see where it goes.
Yeah. All right. My mush of the week, Damian Priest. And you're like, why? Well, a couple weeks ago, I called Damian Priest the dumbest wrestler alive whenever he didn't cash in when Seth Rollins was out there saying, hey, I'm injured. I may not make Mania. Priest gave an interview and said, we got to wait for him to be medically cleared. I can't cash it in. Never. He don't like her that much, Taquan. But Priest said, I got to wait for Seth Rollins to be medically cleared before I can use the cash-in. That's the precedent that was set. Roman's never around. I'm not on SmackDown, so I can't use it there. I got to wait for Seth to get cleared. Seth comes out Monday night. I'm medically cleared. Runs right past Drew McIntyre. I mean, you'd have thought he was running a 40 at the combine the way he sprinted to the ring Monday night. Gets laid out. With a claymore in the ring, just out flat on his back, cold. Drew talking shit, whatever. Where's Priest? Nowhere to be found. On a flight to Dominic Mysterio's wedding. Is there a point of even having the briefcase anymore? Like it's turned into a gag where it's just fake, false cash-ins.
Yeah. And they just hold on to it forever.
It's expired. It's ran its course. You got to come up with something different now because it doesn't work anymore.
This one's kind of muddy because he's in a faction. If it was just him, you could tease it all you want. You're a tag champ. You got other obligations. You're all over the place.
And then I saw the hate. Well, if he cashes in on a lesser and not one of the heavyweight champions, then it really doesn't serve its course because you're using it to cash in on a lower title.
He's cashing.
Yeah, that's not how I want to deal with it.
He's cashing in a Mania.
on Cody. We pulled the Edge AEW where Cody's champ for 20 seconds, and then Priest cashes in on Cody. And the internet will really burn.
They know. They would.
What do you? I don't know. What do you mean? He won the title. He did finish the story. Technically, he did finish the story. So, hey.
Yeah. Since we're on the Judgment Day,
you're about to be the Tommy Dreamer of WWE, Cody.
Since we're on the Judgment Day, your thoughts on these heel versus heel matches this week?
I didn't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need it all the time. It worked for what it was. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed Dominik and Gunther.
Same.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Pat McAfee was tremendous at the beginning of the match.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then did you see Gunther acknowledge him on social media? Mm-hmm. So you know how a couple weeks ago, whenever he was doing the Jay hand wave, Gunther went out next day and posted Stooge?
Yeah.
Well, he acknowledged, he just posted Punter in all capital letters. You see Pat standing in the background with the Imperium pose. Tremendous stuff. Tremendous. But yeah, it was. I didn't mind it. It was entertaining as all hell.
Like, how does that? What does this do for? Like, I can see if you're trying to change Judgment Day's image, but you got Dom and he's never changed.
They booed him at his own wedding.
I was gonna bring that up to see if you guys saw that.
This week, yeah,
that was great.
Did you see the other comments? So people have been posting clips from the wedding, and somebody posted, I watched all these clips and haven't seen Rey Mysterio once. He really is a deadbeat dad.
If you saw them booing him, Rey goes, thanks, mom and dad. It's just like, oh, his dad's there? Like, we're acknowledging him as a dad now?
Kayfabe's dead, brother. Kayfabe's dead. But yeah, Judgment Day's they're in a weird spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying the group has run its course, but like, it's not so much all about the Judgment Day anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you got the individuals with their own stories and stuff. Mania is going to be a big turning point for the group, if the group even still sticks around, because I think you're going to have some shakeup there with different things that go down.
Definitely.
I don't see Finn and Priest retaining the belts. I think they're going to lose them. As much as I would like Rhea to retain, I think they're going to put it on Becky. Spoiler alert. So then you got, you know, JD and Dom. And, yeah, it's going to be a big pivot year for Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Truth came into their life and just interrupted everything.
He gave a little bit of longevity.
Yeah.
I mean, from a WWE faction standpoint, outside of DX and maybe Evolution, if you go back and look at their run, but like from a faction standpoint, they've had one of the longest runs as WWE faction.
Mm-hmm.
They don't normally last that long. So, you know, it's going to change at some point in time. It's just a matter of how they do it and how they tell the story, because I think there are some compelling things that they can do coming out of the group to make people elevate even more than what the group did.
I'd rather see the group end as a story instead of like, oh, we're gonna do the draft at the end of the year or whenever.
Break them up
and we're gonna break them up in there and they're gonna go their separate ways. Like,
I mean, the turmoil for the group ending story wise is, you could do it as simple as Rhea is the only one to retain coming out of Mania, so she's bad mouthing all them.
It is Donald's week next week, Ty.
or, you know, everybody loses their belts and it's a bunch of finger pointing. Right?
I would like that. Like, I would like that. Dom, it's your fault.
But, I mean, it feels like they're all on face turns except for Dom.
Man, it's still getting booed. Like, a year and a half later, still getting booed tremendously.
The wedding was by far my favorite ever.
he did an interview. He was like, I love it. He was like, if they need to save time, they just send me out there. If they need to waste some time, they just send me out there. That's perfect.
I mean, think about it. Literally, he just has to walk to the ring, touch a microphone, and can get booed for five minutes, and that's the same. Like, you talk about, you know, Don Callis always talks about not taking bumps. Dom don't got to take a bump. Like, and that's his night. Pack mm-hmm. your bags, cash a check, go home happy. Like,
man, that's a great payday.
Yeah.
Great payday. Great payday. All right. So there's your mushes of the week with regards to that. No true momentum downward spiral, so to speak, for many of the mushes, minus AEW streaming. We got to get that fixed and taken care of ASAP. You got to get it figured out before Dynasty. Like, something has to change. And I don't know what they do, because I don't see them going anywhere else in the next month.
Or no.
No, not a month. No, no,
it'll
not
be the
a
same.
Month.
Taekwon.
You think Max would be the area, because that's
the mush of the week.
Yeah.
You think, but.
All right, Mount Rushmore time. Where we want to go? Mount Rushmore.
I'll kick it off. I was going to give it to Sting. I was going to give it to Ospreay. But then every now and then, sometimes somebody comes around and does something that you think they did it just for you. And I got to give it to Okada's entrance on Dynamite this week on his debut. After he hit the bum of bums with his move, he looked at that camera and I think he was just like, that was for you, dumb Mark, Chris.
It took forever to set up.
It did take him.
Taekwon, nobody owns Mount Rushmore. Okay, so shut your mouth.
Was that a know your role and shut your mouth?
No, I'm not doing that.
You didn't say the whole thing.
Nope. I'm walk the line with it. I'm walk the line with it. All right, so let's get into.
I'm giving it to Okada just for his debut this week too.
So momentum change. I think in this regards, it's a momentum swing in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't have Okada coming in as a heel in 2024 in my bingo card.
No, not at all.
Right? So I thought, like, the music hit and he walked out and you seen the paper bills falling from the sky and I'm like, in a suit?
In a suit. The suit really threw it off.
Yeah.
And then it gets in the ring and I'm like, okay. Now we got business. Now I'm interested. Right?
Big business.
Big business.
That is big business.
I like
the big business, but it's big business.
I like the promo they cut backstage afterwards that was put out on social media. Mm. Sometimes I wish those things would actually make live air.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it could add to the segment. In this instance, it would have added to the segment. But yeah, I'm here. I'm ready to see what happens and what goes down. So you got him in the door. He's there now. What are you going to do with him?
Leaving
me. I hope something. But again, I don't trust TK's booking. I don't.
Until he's going to have some great matches, but
until he books better, I don't see Okada doing much.
Speaking of that,
that's my opinion. I don't see him doing good booking.
Speaking of that, somebody, I think it might have been Raj Giri on X. He said something about, you know, enjoyed the heel turn, blah, blah, blah. Interested to see the weekly progression of it and where it goes, if it ultimately leads to Okada Omega at, say, All In Wembley, right? We have no timetable on Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega doesn't even have a timetable on Kenny Omega. He came out and talked about that this week.
He got fired too, so.
And that's where.
I mean, look how long Brock was out for with that.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's where it falls short for me, is that I have, like you said, Donald, I have no faith in a weekly progress story with Okada to get me invested, yes. Other than Okada Omega 17, whatever iteration it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you did the same thing with Ospreay. Absolutely tremendous match with Takeshita, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
We called it our match of the night. Fucking delivered. Wednesday night goes out there with Kyle Fletcher, has another match of the night, and then you tease Danielson, and it's like, are we running Ospreay and Danielson right at Dynasty already? Like,
no progression.
And I'm like, well, wait a second. Why did you give me Fletcher and Ospreay already? Those are United Empire members. Those are best friends. The backstory is there. Ospreay took Fletcher in and he lived with Ospreay and went through the pandemic and everything else. Like, you have so much backstory there to tell something that would get people invested to make the match 10 times bigger than what it was on Wednesday and
elevate
night.
Elevate Fletcher.
Elevate, and you just gave it to me on Wednesday night. You did the Goldberg Hogan booking, which is what Tony Khan does.
So how long down the line before they're in the title picture? Or are they just going to play the Danielson role?
I mean, Ospreay says he wants all in.
Ospreay's winning the belt at All In Wembley. Yeah. Spoiler. There's another spoiler, Taquan.
Hey. It didn't. Swerve might have to take a back seat.
And that's what I was thinking too. Man, I was thinking he might beat Joe, but he ain't going to hold the title that long.
If he beats Joe at Double or Nothing, or because are they even doing Double or Nothing?
Yeah.
Dynasty's May 25th.
No, April. Dynasty's April.
Okay. So, yeah. Have Swerve win it at Double or Nothing in May, Labor Day weekend. And then
three months later, he leaves.
The first play. Get out
of here. Hey, it's better than what TK did with Hobbs with the TNT title in June for Juneteenth. He gave it to him Juneteenth, June 7th, June 20th. He lost it. Dropped it to Wardlow.
It's going to last longer than Black History Month itself. Gone. Transition champ.
At this point, I don't even know if you'll get him. He might even just take the back seat and not get it. Have that original Bobby Lashley. We're gonna get
whoa, Chris the back seat. What?
Are you talking about like LA Knight booking?
Yeah. Wait, hey, might be LA Knight.
Man,
lose the Roman doesn't even get a US title shot, and is wrestling AJ Styles at Mania. You talking about that type of booking for Square?
Definitely possible right now.
They're gonna be like Swerve. You know who we're gonna put you with? Hangman.
Number 10. So we got first ever best of 10 series.
Yeah.
We got Ospreay. Chris, you gave Okada your Mount Rushmore. We're going to get Mercedes on Wednesday. Does the momentum change and carry over and actually bring people back in the fold with AEW?
Who's doing the booking for AEW?
I give it a little bit of momentum.
There you go. You get nothing from me until your booking is better. I don't care who you're bringing. You can bring in Jordan. You can bring in Michael Jackson. You can bring in Muhammad Ali. You can bring in every damn buddy. Your booking is trash. It is not going to do anything for me.
Donald saying, legend, legend, legend. We need more legends in AEW.
Not only that, bring back the Pass the Way legends. Put them on the show.
He's looking for Saudi now.
As long as that man is still booking, momentum is flatline for me. You got to do better.
See, I thought AEW was on a momentum swing upwards this week. Between Revolution being a fantastic pay-per-view. I enjoyed Revolution top to bottom.
Very good event.
Very good event. Probably the best event that they've done in a long time.
Everything with it. The crowd, the event itself, the matches. It reminded me of first year AEW.
I'll agree
with
that.
That feeling you got from AEW watching that.
Was that good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to bring in viewers. It needs to put butts in seats.
There's the delineation. I like that you brought that up, Jay, because
that's where the money comes from.
And you saw Revolution, they grossed over $1 million in ticket sales. It was sold out. But then you flip to Wednesday night and there's 3,000 people in the crowd. So when are you going to, like, to me, AEW should be getting like that 7,000 to 8,000 a week. 6,000 to 8,000 a week. They're not going to get the 10,000 to 15,000 that WWE's getting in these arenas right now. And when they were at their apex, they were getting maybe 10,000, 11,000in the bigger arenas, right? But 6,000 to 8,000, I'm okay with that as long as you're booking venues that hold, 8,000 to 10,000, and you're getting 6,000 to 8,000. So damn near at capacity. It's tough, man. I just, like Donald, like you said, the booking. And TK put out a tweet on his own, something with a Tony gif in it that Tony does with Tony. I forget what the hell he posted, but it's like, all right, now you're taking credit for yourself.
Oh, him, Tony?
Yeah, Tony.
A gift of himself.
TK like a thing, TK.
Yeah.
Like he's taking Barry Horowitz's gimmick to a whole new level.
AEW Booker of the Year award goes to.
Anytime I hear that man pick up a phone, I'm like, uh-oh.
But this week for AEW is the reason why I like AEW.
Yeah.
Like you said, Chris, it brought you back to that first year or two, the initial dropping of AEW, where it felt fresh, it felt different. You saw different matchups. Like, I don't agree with everything that they booked on Wednesday night, but they had a solid carryover from pay-per-view to Wednesday night. There was some story progression with stuff, so I'm not going to completely say that he has no stories going, because he does. Certain things I would absolutely stay away from, like putting Chris Jericho and Hulk as a tag team together. I don't need that.
Whatever that's about.
Tag team tournament.
You get Jericho on TV.
Just like you had the best friends wrestle Butcher and Kip Sabian last night in a first round matchup of the tournament on Rampage. What? First off, don't need best friends in the tag team tournament. They haven't wrestled as a tag team since Chuck Taylor's injury, and even before that, they didn't wrestle as a tag team. Against Butcher and Kip Sabian, who haven't been seen. I didn't even know they were still on the roster.
Same here.
And you're putting them in the first round of the tag team tournament?
Did we get a bracket yet? I didn't see a bracket yet. But
is it a mix-up or is it?
I don't know. I thought I was under the impression that it was a first-round matchup. Maybe it was a tune-up. Maybe it was a, hey, let's work out the kinks as a tag team against these two bums, and then we'll get ready to go into the tournament. But who knows? We may get a graphic on Wednesday to have Orange and Trent best friends in the second round already.
Yeah. Or this will be like, I forget the tournament they did last year, and like you didn't get the bracket until all the first round matches were done. It's like,
yeah. What's Russian, man?
See that weather change and algae's acting up.
So I don't know. We'll see. But I thought AEW momentum wise was on the upswing. So all right, Okada heel debut. Chris's Mount Rushmore one. All right.
Everything.
Yeah, I'm trying to be professional. I couldn't hit the mute button fast enough. I covered the mic and it was a cloud with red sauce sneeze.
I'll go. My Mount Rushmore is two people, but it's the same thing. Roxanne looked like that. She's finally did the heel turn on Lycaria, and Trick's return.
The
pop for Trick was massive.
The arm stomp spot over the turnbuckle that Roxanne did was nasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It was one of those
believable. Yeah.
Like, yeah, believable. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how Lycaria bent her arm that way.
Yeah.
Defied all science, but yeah. And Roxanne carried the gimmick over. She's like, you know, something along the lines is finally did something bad, but it felt so good. Pause.
Mm-hmm. It did whatever she did. That Booker T was just like, oh, shucky ducky. Like, real low. Like, he was shocked and was like, oh.
All right, so you brought up Trick's return. Absolutely yes. Loved it. You knew it was going to happen at some point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Question. Are you upset that it's not Trick and Melo at Stand and Deliver for the belt?
Yes.
So you need that payoff match to have the belt to get the.
For me.
No, but you just want to put it on Trick.
For me, no. Because this is like Rock Roman. You don't need the belt for those two. They built this up enough. Man, they built this up enough. We're got stale for a bit, so we're finally here. It doesn't need to be for the title.
Chris?
It would just feel more special if it was Trick and Melo.
I agree with Donald on that. I I just feel like it's a storyline that we were expecting the match to pay off, not for the belt.
I don't need the belt because it's a personal story.
No.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's based on you trying to keep me down. It's personal. It's not necessarily me trying to screw you over to keep the belt. Mm. Or, you know, or I'm going to beat you to take the belt away from you because that's what you covet the most. Like,
yeah,
it's personal. You didn't want to see me succeed. You tried holding me down and making me your lackey. I outgrew you. I became more popular than you. I'm a bigger star than you. Nah, I'm just going to whoop your ass one-on-one and show that I'm everything that you said that I wasn't. So give me that personal beef and I'm cool with the matchup going off at Stand and Deliver. Mm-hmm.
But man, he was missing all the punches and kicks.
I was like, is this a Super Nintendo Street Fighter edition? What are we doing here? Like,
you see the breeze go by?
Like, I thought it was Avatar there for a second.
He's an airbender now. He's out there airbender.
Because Melo jumped up for no reason in the corner. And a little tornado kick he did on the security guard. Man. Yeah. That was a move from the Power Rangers right there.
Hit that putty.
But yeah, yeah, but then I like the pop he got from the crowd. That was, yeah, man, his pops are big.
Arguably the pop of the week.
Mm-hmm. I think the only people who get bigger pops than him are the four who was in the ring last night. Rock, Roman, Cody, Seth.
And WWE-wise...
Yeah,
because
he definitely the loudest in NXT for sure right now. Like, that crowd went absolutely ballistic when that intro music hit. And it's an intro music that's what? Easily identifiable. You know who it is.
Yes. As soon as the horns go off, already know.
Yeah, even though The Rock took part of Black Adam's gimmick into his new entrance. If you smell drops, you know in The Rock.
Yeah.
But he took Black Adam's lightning bolts and added it into his entrance theme last night.
I didn't mind that.
Now there's my 1B.
For Jabroni?
No, for Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore was The Rock's new entrance?
Well, I gotta go back and watch it. I fast forwarded through those first 8 minutes.
No, you did? I didn't mind that. I did not mind that. So, but he just can't have the same theme music, though.
It don't matter. When we were out, I was like, did y'all guys watch the pay attention to The Rock's intro? Like, did they add the red eyes this week? And Chris was like, I don't know, I wasn't watching. Of course, Dawn wasn't paying attention because he brings it up to me yesterday. Like, oh, this guy broke down the whole lineage of The Rock's heel turn. Like, that's the same thing I was telling you about. Like, oh. You know me, it didn't happen on TV. It didn't.
Right. Right. It didn't air on Fox between 8 and 10, so he ain't see it.
I saw someone post on social media that you were right about the eyes. Like, I guess a few weeks back they were blue and now they're red.
Yeah. And then they just went to this. And I was in awe. If I see that live, I'd be hyped.
He's 6 to midnight if he sees that live. Don't be in the seat in front of him.
I was sold. That's old school interest to me. I was sold. I was like, you know what? Yeah. Buy me up.
Gonna have to go back and watch that after this is over.
And then my 1A is my 1A is Bull Nakano and Paul Heyman going into the Hall of Fame. Especially Paul Heyman. You know, you guys know I hated Paul Heyman.
Forever.
How the days have changed with you. Forever. Talk about momentum change.
Yes, that is.
Acknowledging Paul Heyman up there.
That's progression. That's evolution. Paul Heyman
got shirt.
That's evolution.
I hate him from the cell phone days.
I've almost kicked this man out of my house many times with the Paul Heyman hate.
Watch the NWA outside.
Now I'll be sitting here every SmackDown when he tells you, when he texts you guys, you see Paul's face? I don't. This man just be selling me.
Jason's like, please say call Jason's phone. He's waiting for that phone call, just staring at his phone every Friday night.
So next time you come to Steel City, calling, we got to go.
So here, I'm glad you dropped Tommy Dreamer's name. Bullet Ray put out the question, who should induct Paul Heyman? I immediately said Dreamer. Mm-hmm. And he asked Dreamer on Busted Open this week, should you be the one to induct Paul? And Dreamer himself said, listen, I would, if they asked me, yes, I would. But it's a show. And you have two people in-house for television purposes that are bigger names than me to induct Paul Heyman, which is Stone Cold, who Bully Ray selected as the one that should induct him, or the original Paul Heyman guy, CM Punk, as the two. So those were Dreamer's picks to induct Heyman. I said Dreamer right off the bat, but I understand why he picked either one of them.
Yeah.
And Bully, I mean, what Bully said was right too. You had Stone Cold that goes back to the Dangerous Alliance days with Heyman.
Yep.
You have Heyman giving him, hey, you just got fired via fax from WCW. You're injured. Here's a platform. Come in, say whatever you want, live microphone. Austin was only in ECW for maybe 3 months, 4 months max.
And had what, one match?
Yes, I think one match. Yeah, that was a triple threat. Or a three-way dance, what they called it back then.
Yeah.
But those promos were the reason why he got hired by WWE.
Yes.
Yep.
Even though Vince hired him and then put him into a silent gimmick. You hired him because he can talk, and then you put him in a silent gimmick with Ted DiBiase. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
It's a mouthpiece, yeah.
For one night only, Bill Alfonso and the whistle. That's all you need.
No.
Paul can do all the talking. We don't need anybody.
You just want Fonzie on stage next to Paul blowing the whistle?
No. Come up, blow the whistle, get your ass off stage. Paul's inducted. You think I want the whistle the whole time? Oh, I hate that.
My dad used to hate Bill Alfonso. We'd be watching ECW because I want to show that whistle up his ass.
Love Fonzie, boy. Love Fonzie. That man was a workhorse as a manager at Splash Valley.
It's funny that you brought up. It's funny that you brought up WWE inductees.
Would you get Styles to do it?
Joey Styles? I was thinking that too.
That would be a good one, but I don't know if they'll do it.
I don't know if they're. The relationship with WWE is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we've seen people not WWE do stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Like when Stacy Keibler did Tori Wilson, and they weren't on good terms, but she still did it.
You want the Japanese Man of War?
Aldo Montoya.
Aldo Montoya. Is that who he was? Was that Josh Incredible?
Yeah, that was him.
So apparently, The Rock has had input into who gets elected in the WWE Hall of Fame. He's given suggestions, and as more people get announced, you'll see his power, so to speak, being used. Does The Rock deserve to be saying who goes into WWE Hall of Fame?
I mean, between him and Triple H, I think everybody's going in.
Well, The Rock, rumor is The Rock.
Is that a sign of things to come, though?
Pitching his grandmother. Like, he's pitching his grandmother to get in for her promotion over in Hawaii. Which, I'm not mad at it, based on what she was, because she was probably one of the only women promoters out there.
They do have that heritage.
One of the only women promoters that ran a profitable territory. We're not going to do that to Pittsburgh's finest, Shane Douglas, okay? A lot of hate there, Taquan. Franchise don't deserve that.
Don, Jason, are you going to give him the time off?
Yeah, you're going to approve that video?
What do you need this for? Nah.
I can't justify that.
For Paul, I'll allow it.
Yeah.
All right. So we got Hall of Fame inductions so far. Anybody that you would like to see go in this year?
Is Batista going in?
You can't headline Batista and Heyman.
So Heyman's headlining?
Heyman got a headline.
He got a headline.
You open up with Batista and you close with Hangman. Heyman.
Nah. Keep playing Drax.
I mean, Heyman himself said that he didn't even want to be inducted, but because it aligned, it's WrestleMania 40, yeah. It's in Philadelphia. Like,
it makes sense.
It makes sense, yeah. Especially with Paul being active. He's like, I'm active. Like, I don't want to go in while I'm active, but you can't
traditional. Look at that.
Like, that crowd is going to be insane for that. Yeah. Like,
that Hall of Fame should be at the ECW Arena.
It should. That's where Stand and Deliver should be at, too.
I was just going to bring that up. We were talking about that the other day. NXT should be at the ECW Arena, too.
That would be phenomenal.
You put Bray in this year?
Well, his dad's going in.
Yeah.
As part of a tag team that I don't think anybody has ever heard of before.
I've never heard of it.
I could have sworn IRS was in. Whenever I said, why are they going in? I thought he was in. That's why I didn't understand it.
Him and Wyndham are not in as individuals, but they're going in as a tag team. Oh.
That's a good way to kill two birds with one stone. You get Wyndham in.
I don't know. Like, would it seem corny?
They've done it before. You know, where as soon as the person passes away, they put them right in.
I wouldn't mind it, but I don't necessarily need it this year.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he's going to go in, but I don't.
We don't know where things are at yet next year. You know, rumor is it's between two, but you could do it next year.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be right away.
Yeah.
And you know IRS is going to talk about, you know he's going to talk about Bray in his speech.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you'll get Bo doing the induction speech, potentially. I don't know, because it's a tag team. So, you may get crickets because people weren't around for WrestleMania 1.
Or know who U.S. Express is.
Yeah.
What you said. You guys sent the picture over group. I was like, who's this? I had to look into it.
Who it is? my Mount Rushmore this week is Will Ospreay. I can't, like, you debut, you back-to-back, put on two matches of the year. You arguably had the first seven matches of the year. Like, dude just puts out bangers, and you can hate on his style of wrestling. I saw a lot of that between him and Takeshita. Yeah. And I'm like, if you really watch the match, like, they build up to the sequence where they go back for more move for move.
Yeah.
That's not the dark segment there.
What, breaking down that type of style of wrestling?
Just where it's at now, yeah.
That's a longer form discussion we can definitely have.
Yeah, it is.
Because, I mean, as you see, like, I mean, it's catering to this generation. Have you seen we're done with the 90s? Where they're just blasting Jordan. Everybody's just shitting on Jordan.
Jordan Corrigo left. What?
Yeah, all of that. But, like, I feel like you can say that about wrestling. Because we're in the era of movesets, no selling, spot fest. Yeah. It's feeling kind of NBA All-Star game-ish.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cody, I think Cody said it best. He was, and this was whenever he was on Logan Paul's podcast. I don't know if it dropped or what. I think it was already out. But he said to Logan, like, I'm interested to watch you go through this. Mm. And he's like, because old people, your Cornettes and everybody, made money back in the day based on wrestling being a certain format and a certain formula and following it to a T and generating heat and good guys, bad guys. And butts in stands and they drew money and great. But that's the narrative, that that's the only way wrestling can be done. And we've evolved and wrestling's grown and it's new styles and it's this. So like, he's like, I'm interested to see how you go through this and navigate it, because you're going to get people based on how Logan Paul does stuff in the ring that say, this is the shit. Like, no selling, but you know, the normal spiel that we get with AEW matches, right?
We talked about it on here before about the Ospreay Ricochet match, you know, how that like broke the internet that week, you know, with that debate.
that was like the tipping point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to watch Ospreay Ricochet, and then you watch Ricochet and Takeshita, even though there's segments of those matches that are the same as far as the no sell, multiple counters, movesets, superhero strength to come back from stuff, right? There's more storyline and psychology in Ospreay and Takeshita than Ricochet and Ospreay. Like, he's grown the genre himself. And other people have too. Like, that style's fine. And it's Baskin Robbins 31 flavors. Everybody can have what they like. But that style was more AEW based. And we've talked about this on this show too. What separates the two companies? Well, the in-ring style is the first thing you can point to.
Myself, I don't like that style, but he does it well.
He's the best there is at it.
He may do it the best. Yeah, he does it well.
What do we say? What's the number one thing for wrestlers to do? Be unique and stand out. You gotta be unique and stand out to where the crowd gives you a response one way or the other.
Yeah. Find your own
niche. That's his uniqueness. That's the way he stands out. It just happens to be bell to bell between the ropes. Now he can cut a promo. So, you know. But yeah, I'm not gonna shit on it. Like, obviously, he's going to have to tone it down for TV matches. You're not going to get 20-minute bangers, although him and Fletcher went out there Wednesday night and absolutely tore the house down. So we'll see how he adjusts to the American TV style of wrestling. And you got to figure, those guys that are all coming over there to catching flack are all coming from New Japan and that, to where that's been acceptable.
Yes.
That's praise. The fans love that over there. North American fans don't like it.
I think the biggest change that Ospreay's going to have to adjust to, because he's going to be on TV every week, is a shorter match time. I mean, he's so used to having long matches now that we're just... This week was, what, 20, I think. It ran overtime on Wednesday night. But he's probably going to have to adjust to maybe having a 15-minute match at some point.
Yeah, we touched on the bloodline and all that earlier in the show. I mean, yeah, it's Sting. Like, I wanted to give it to Sting, right? But Ospreay was just so damn entertaining this week for me. I couldn't. Sting should just be like he should be the flagpole on the Mount Rushmore this week. Like, he was already there. Like, wasn't going nowhere, right?
We gave him his flowers last week too.
Yeah. I mean, well deserved, you know. I saw somebody post this Sting retirement match, Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, and The Undertaker, AJ cinematic. Which one of the three was the best retirement match? Oh, that's a good question. Because they're all three are different matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. HBK and Flair just has that moment.
Yeah, I think I got to go with HBK Flair.
That story.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Undertaker standing above AJ with the lights behind him on the tractor.
Yeah.
That moment. I'm being facetious with that, but no pop. All right, I'll move on. Yeah. Okada definitely got a bag. 4.5 million per year over the next 3 years.
Nice gig when you can get it.
I saw people shitting on that, and it's like, why are you hating? And then somebody else pointed to name. somebody else pointed to the Mercedes Moné interview where she said that she would she's definitely going back to WWE at some point. And they're like, oh, see, look, WWE told her, hey, go get your bag. They did the old Vince McMahon line to wrestlers. Go get as much money as you can. You can always come back. Well, what's wrong with that?
No.
Home and home.
I mean, don't we all want to make the most money in whatever profession we're doing? Exactly. Whether you do it at the company you first started or you move on to another company. Yep. Like,
isn't that and if she makes a bigger name of herself in AEW, then WWE will pay her more when she comes back.
Look, did Okada... AEW.
She ain't AEW yet. She's still slated for Mania for me.
You know, did Okada hiring Barry Bloom as his agent drive up the bidding war between WWE and AEW to where Tony Khan landed on $4.5 million a year? Probably, but kudos to him. Get the bag, you get the bag. We got free agency coming up in the NFL this week. Yeah, get the bag. The whole point.
That's the goal. Yep.
Well, yeah. So there. There's your Mount Rushmores and your mushes of the week. As always, we'll drop a little recap video later on. You can hit us up on social media and let us know who was on your Mount Rushmore, who was your mush of the week. You ready for game time?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to continue with This Is That, but we're in March, so we're doing Women's Month, Women's Appreciation Month. So this is all about the ladies, and I tried to match these women up as best as possible from a in-ring sense, a style sense, a personality sense, and had it where it was like an older generation versus current generation, best as possible, okay? Okay. All right. Charlotte Flair or Trish Stratus?
Charlotte.
Trish.
Charlotte.
I'll go Trish. Lita or Becky Lynch?
Becky.
Becky.
Becky. Tough.
I'll go Becky.
Sweet.
Victoria or Bailey?
Oh, man.
Victoria.
Bailey.
Well, are you saying that this is a hard choice, Jay, or what?
This is a hard choice. I love Victoria. Matter of fact, she should go in this year too.
She should definitely go in this year.
She's overdue.
Got Charlotte, Becky, Bailey in the comments. Is it Donald? Who you go with?
Bailey.
Chris.
Victoria.
Jay.
Bailey.
I'll go Bailey as well. I'm a hugger.
That was a tough one.
Jazz or Jordynne Grace? Jordynne. A lot of people don't remember Jazz.
A lot of people don't remember Jazz.
They hate on Jazz. But I thought
I remember Jazz in ECW.
Yeah, I thought this was a good comparison. Here.
This is a good one.
I'm gonna go Jordan.
I'm going Jazz.
Give me Jazz.
I guess we're truly black and white on this pick. I'll go the Juggernaut. China or Jade?
China.
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 See, he's going to do it just to do it.
Yeah.
I get the matchup.
Yeah.
This is solely like presence for presence, right? Because when China walked out on screen for the first time, people were like, holy shit. Mm. And then as she evolved, people were still like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Jade, for me, since she came out, holy shit, for multiple reasons. I'm going Jade. Francine or Beulah? This one's off the path as far as generations. I couldn't come up with a current valet. So I decided to match up the two. Francine would be a good pick for Hall of Fame this week too, even though she's not
going to
do
would.
It.
Yeah.
She just slapped a C&D on WWE for their Queen of Extreme with Liv Morgan.
Don't forget.
Francine put in, they both put in the work.
Yes, they did.
Back in the day.
Francine. Francine was my A1 day one in that era for me.
Still waiting for that AOL picture to load up.
Francine.
I'm going to go Beulah.
Even though Beulah was the fighter.
Beulah had a big crush on Beulah back in the day.
Francine
took the hardest bump I've ever seen a wrestler take in my entire life.
Jason, did you go?
Yeah, Beulah, yeah.
Woman or Sherry?
Sherry.
Woman is forgotten about, but she was fantastic.
I liked Woman. Yeah, mm-hmm. I really liked her as a manager. Sherry just was a level above everybody, though.
Yeah.
We got one more after this, Chris?
Two more,
okay. I'll go Sherry as well. Gail Kim or Mercedes? Sasha was the tough one to match up with, but Gail Kim, to me, in-ring-wise, in that generation, could keep up and stay on par with the women of today.
Yes.
I like Gail, but I was never a huge Gail fan. I'm going to go Mercedes.
Mercedes.
Yeah, I got Mercedes as well. All right, last one. Bull Nakano, Nia Jax, or Awesome Kong?
Bull.
I like all of them.
I know we got Meat Madness inside, and
it got to be two something to do something.
This is a triple threat match that I gladly need in my screen between these three. We got Daya.
Awesome
Kong, man, was just so different at the time. Like,
give me Naya.
A lot of people aren't going to know Bull just because her North American run wasn't out there given the time. Mm-hmm. Like, if she was dropped into North American wrestling now, game over.
She would dominate.
Number one across the board. Like, and rightfully deserving of going into the Hall of Fame for her career.
Yes, she is.
The way Awesome Kong was for the Knockouts title is exactly what Bull Nakano was in the 90s.
Is Blaze putting her in?
I would hope so, but they haven't announced any speakers, so
that would make the most sense.
Yeah. I'll go Bull. Awesome Kong. Yeah. I was gonna put Thomas Tony Storm against Wendy Richter, but I decided to drop that off the list because that match hasn't happened yet. So
TBD.
Yeah. Little game there of this or that.
That was cool.
Play along for women's appreciation month there. All right. Anything else that we need to cover here before we log off for this week's show? I got something to drop on you guys before we get out of here to get your thoughts on.
Do it.
All right. So, Ring of Honor, 4 weeks out from the Supercard of Honor show. Let's listen to these stats here for you. The ROH World Champion has not appeared on Ring of Honor TV in 9 weeks. The Pure Champion has not appeared on Ring of Honor TV in 12 weeks. The Six-Man Champions have not appeared on Ring of Honor TV in 8 weeks. The TV Champion, 8 weeks. The Tag Team Champions, 5 weeks. And the Women's Champion, 2 weeks.
Oh, true. I'm about to say every damn week.
Is there a point in even watching this show?
Does anybody watch the show?
They're all on Dynamite.
I did the stats.
They're all on Dynamite and Rampage. That's where you see everybody.
Like, what is happening with Ring of Honor?
It just needs to go away at this point.
I'm going to say, who owns Ring of Honor?
Who's the sixth man? Gold? Bullet Club Gold?
Yeah. Okay.
Who's the tag champs? Kyle and
Bennett and Taven.
Yeah.
Because Kyle came out on against Ospreay and he had a belt, a Ring of Honor belt.
Yeah, he had a TV.
Oh, he's the TV champ. Okay.
And I just know that because of the match.
Yeah. I watched the match and I didn't even know what belt he was holding.
Like, I get it.
Eddie's Ring of Honor, right? But he got like 50 titles, it seems like.
I get AEW's on cable television, so like you put the belts on to showcase the Ring of Honor champs, but at the same time, you can't go 12 weeks without your champion showing up on TV.
And you tape it with AEW programming.
Correct. Yeah. So it's not like so they're not there. It's not like you got to fly them in for a separate booking.
Yeah.
You just look in the locker room like, hey.
And why not just let those stories play out, some of them play out on Dynamite? Like, give me an eight or an ROH match, even if it's just one.
I said this long ago.
Rampage, no reason Castle the Boy shouldn't be on Dynamite.
Rampage should be the Ring of Honor show.
Yes.
And sure. Rampage should be the Ring of Honor show online.
Yeah.
Like you have Dynamite and Collision. You have 5 hours there dedicated that you can get your stories in and your matchups and everything else. Mm. Ring of Honor is going to draw probably the same amount of viewers that Rampage does. Maybe more if you actually had the people show up on the show and told stories. Mm.
This week they announced True TV is being repackaged, which is part of the Turner Networks. It's going to be a sports network now. Put Ring of Honor on there.
On so Thursday then, nights, I wouldn't mind that.
So then AEW's on, like the company is on every network. You have Collision on TNT, you have Dynamite on TBS, then you have Ring of Honor on True TV.
Dynamite Rampage or TBS. And then you're on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Four nights out of
the weekend covered. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely got the weekend covered.
Now, that may be too much. That's a different podcast for a different day. But at the same time, I wouldn't be mad at that, throwing them on True TV.
No.
But I just looked at those numbers, and it was like, yo, how is this even a brand at this point?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the last event, and I don't know what the matches are for this one yet, but I don't have any interest in this one coming up either.
And even when they have the belt, you don't feel like they have the belt.
Yeah.
Especially people like when Claudio had the belt, you could barely tell Claudio had the belt. Same with Yuta.
Especially there towards the end of Claudio's, he wasn't even wearing the belt because he was in BCC business.
Yeah.
I said it before on here. The Ring of Honor was so much better before they had the TV program, and they were just promoting it as pay-per-views.
Only person who really showcased the belt was Jeff.
Jericho's run was pointless.
Because Joe was feuding with Wardlow, who was a TV TNT champ.
Mm-hmm. That's Donald's territory. All you're there is just take off a box.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's just mind blowing to me. Like, yeah. So.
And the only thing I'm seeing online is the women's division. Like, I'm not seeing anything else ROH wise except for like Billy Starks, Athena, and Nyla Rose.
Yeah, they need to do better.
We gotta do something. Yes. Christian was fantastic again on Wednesday night.
Running out the arena.
Running out the arena, still in a car, and then holding the title out of the window as he speeds off. It's so damn entertaining. It's not even funny.
Was that not this week? It'll be the following week in Toronto?
Yeah, the 20th. Yeah. So.
It makes sense to main event that show. 100%. Donald ain't watching it, but
yeah. So, tremendous. But all right, that's the show, folks. Any other quick hitters or anything else you guys want to dive into before we log off with some positivity of the week?
I'm good.
Nope, I'm good.
Nope. All right. Thanks for tuning in to episode 178, Momentum Chains, with your boys at Dumb Marks Podcast. Hit us up on all social media platforms at Dumb Marks Pod. Email the show at dumbmarkspod@gmail.com. head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/dumbmarkspod. Pick up some merch. We'll give you a live shout out on there. Hopefully Taquan sends his full address so I can actually send him his shirt this week. And with that being said, a little positivity to lead into the week, as we always do. You got to do your best every day, but remember that your best is going to look different every day. You got to do your best every day, but remember that your best is going to look different every day. With that being said, I'm a Mark, you're a Mark Telemark. And until next time, y'all can catch us around the way.